Are you prepared to proceed?
Yes, Your Honor.
Good afternoon. My name is Meredith Markwell on behalf of Appellants Concipio Holding, Elan Benevitz, Disbury Services, and Claudio Genesio. Before I begin, I'd like to reserve any time remaining for rebuttal, up to 5 minutes. The appeal here involves a question of whether or not the district court abused its discretion in refusing to exercise specific jurisdiction over respondents based on their intentional actions directed at Private Media Group and Nevada Corporation, and their having used their positions as directors and officers of Private to plunder that corporation and plunder and embezzle millions of dollars from that corporation. Again, Nevada permits the exercise of jurisdiction to the full extent allowed under the U.S. Constitution, and respondents have sufficient minimum contacts with Nevada through the harm that they intentionally directed at Private, a Nevada citizen. Respondents certainly would not be surprised at being hailed into a Nevada court for having taken actions to embezzle millions of dollars from a Nevada corporation and from them using their positions as directors and officers to be able to do that.
Why isn't this case pretty much controlled by Schaffer versus Heitner?
Well, I think this case is distinguishable from Schaffer versus Heitner. In Schaffer, it involved Delaware corporation with non-resident defendants, and the claims involved the subsidiary, Washington subsidiary's actions, which ended up eventually violating antitrust laws and eventually sort of holding the corporation liable. But there was no allegations of fraud, that the directors did anything intentionally wrong, or that their actions were even really directed intentionally at the Delaware corporation. It was really their actions were directed at a subsidiary, which sort of had a ripple effect and eventually affected the Delaware corporation.
Do you see something in the language of the Schaffner case that supports that distinction, or is that just a distinction that you're arriving at by laying the allegations in the two cases side by side?
Well, I think it's primarily looking at the facts of the two cases and the facts. I mean, in Schaffer, it also was there's also a whole issue with the quasi in rem, which doesn't apply and all that as well.
But it gets into the actual personal jurisdiction over the officers. And as my takeaway from that case is that Justice Marshall was saying that unless Delaware enacted a statute constituting consent of the officers to be sued to be jurisdictionally present by virtue of taking a job as an officer or director, merely doing that was not sufficient to constitute minimum contacts for constitutional purposes, right?
Yes, it's correct.
So why would that logic not apply here? We do not have a consent statute, correct?
We present that NRS 78.135 because it discusses a language of being brought against directors and officers. It can be interpreted in situations like this where you have, again, intentional wrongdoing by the directors. That could be interpreted as
risk liability under that statute, but it says nothing about consent to jurisdiction in Nevada, does it?
Not explicitly. It does reference the shareholders being able to bring an action against the officers, which certainly implies in Nevada, dealing with a Nevada corporation. It's not explicit, but it certainly, I think it can certainly be read in the language there.
Okay, set that to one side and return to distinguishing Schaffer, because I think that's the core issue that you have.
Well, and again, I think that the language in Schaffer looks very specifically at, again, just the fact that the directors couldn't have anticipated being sued in Delaware because of their actions with the subsidiary. And again, I mean, I don't think I think the situation is different here because of the fact that again, there's so much intentional fraud, intentional embezzlement of billions of dollars. It's very different, I think, than just the circumstances of Schaefer. I think our position is consistent with this court's position in the Cassentini versus Ninth Judicial District Court, which it deals with, again, out-of-state defendants who were officers, actually, of Nevada Corporation, in which even again, they were not resident officers, but the fact that there were allegations of fraudulent conduct, them sort of using fraudulent stock transfers, that was held that to support a finding of specific jurisdiction over the non-resident directors.
Yeah, counsel, from the record, it's my understanding of the respondents, Mr. Carlsberg, Mr. Dixinger, and Mr. Gilborg have visited Nevada in the past, but Mr. Roderbrandt and Mr. Christmas have not. Is that correct?
I believe that's correct, Your Honor, yes. And also, sorry, jumping back to the Schaefer, I think there's also an issue that the court discussed the fact that the officers and directors' actions were opening the corporation up to claims by third parties against the corporation versus here, again, this is not claims by third parties, this is claims by shareholders based on the director's active intent to plunder and really damage the Nevada Corporation. So, I mean, I think that also is something that distinguishes.
Wasn't Schaefer a derivative action?
Yes, but the basis of why sort of why they brought that was because the Washington subsidiary ended up having taken some actions that eventually were found to have violated the antitrust statutes. And I guess there was an action brought that held the Washington subsidiary liable, and that eventually had to be paid by the parent company. Also, I mean, given the facts of the case, I mean, with Private being an international corporation, I mean, they have, you know, the directors are sort of scattered literally in different countries. I mean, there's really, I mean, Nevada is the sensible form and really sort of the only form to be able to bring these claims. And I, especially, again, sort of with an international corporation like this, it makes sense to have the state of incorporation in one spot that really the directors and the officers decided on sort of picking to be that to be the spot where you can bring claims to against the directors as well as the corporation. And, you know, just as a practical matter, I mean, it doesn't, it's unclear, I mean, since they, again, directors living in Sweden and Spain, but it would probably be unlikely to be able to bring a claim there based on the Nevada Corporation itself. So it's, again, an issue that is sort of the only.
Is the record the only contacts I saw, and I'm using that word generically, not technically here, but the entity on whose behalf the derivative action is brought, it has only, it's a Nevada corporation and it has a resident agent here as a result. Does it have any other presence in Nevada?
It maintains the office that it has to maintain under sort of state law. So it has an office on Flamingo, but it's not, I mean, it's an address really, it's not a physical office. And also with private, it also sort of goes back, I mean, because it's in the adult entertainment business, pretty much its business is mostly, I mean, its assets are primarily in intellectual property issues, digital content. It's not sort of your normal bricks and mortar corporation that's, you know, having a factory producing widgets. I mean, it's a little bit, you know, it's sort of a different form too.
So the principal office, excuse me, is just the resident agent's office?
Well, in Nevada, the resident agent's office is, you know, an office. I think it's actually a post office. I mean, it's not an actual, they don't really have a physical location that they use, but they have a sort of recorded address with the Nevada Secretary of State and everything.
Okay, thank you.
And again, cases holding, you know, that obviously the director consent statutes have been held to be constitutional. And as I addressed before, I mean, I think, you know, we argue that under the facts of this case dealing with directors' intentional actions to embezzle millions of dollars from the Nevada Corporation, we think that NRS 78.135 can be interpreted as, you know, essentially a consent statute or, you know, in these circumstances.
Are we to consider the alleged conspiracy?
I'm sorry, I didn't.
Are we to consider the alleged conspiracy in looking at this jurisdictional issue?
We would present, yes, I mean, in the sense that they certainly were, I mean, they were conspiring to injure a Nevada citizen. I mean, I don't know if that answers your question.
Do you wish to reserve the rest of your time?
Yes, yes.
Very well, thank you. Very well. Mr. Vance.
May it please the Court. My name is Justin Vance. I, along with Mr. Dotson, am counsel for the respondents in this case, Johann Gilborg, Johann Karlberg, Bo Rodebrandt, Philip Christmas, and Peter Dixinger. I don't think there's any dispute between the parties as to what standard governs. It's the minimum contacts test that's been set forth for decades in international shoe. In order for appellants to assert to show that jurisdiction should be asserted over these respondents, they have to show minimum contacts in the state of Nevada, and they have to show that the causes of action that they have alleged arise specifically out of those contacts. Now, we would submit that Schaefer v. Haitner should not be distinguished or set aside in this case, that Schaefer v. Haitner is, in fact, controlling law. In Schaefer, we also dealt with a shareholder derivative action. In Schaefer, we also dealt with a situation where it was alleged that the corporation itself was harmed by the actions of the individual shareholders and directors.
But is Schaefer, is the outcome in Schaefer, can we look at it differently in light of 78-135?
I don't think so, Your Honor, because Schaefer specifically discusses instances where the law of a particular state may govern. In fact, Schaefer rejected the notion that a state can acquire jurisdiction over a party just because its forum's laws apply. It says at best that creates a choice of law issue.
Well, the 78-135 goes a little further than laws in general applying. It talks in terms of this kind of comes under the aspect of creating the entity, this fictional citizen in the first place. So it kind of giveth and taketh away all at the same time. So if we're looking to say that 78-135 shouldn't be looked at for allowing lawsuits against officers or directors, that kind of goes to the whole genesis of allowing this corporation that, as we're saying, has little contact whatsoever with Nevada in the first place. We have possibly this exception, so that's why I floated that question out there.
I understand, Your Honor. And I do believe that it is different. It's not a director consent statute. It simply states that liability does exist in particular situations. That being said, jurisdiction could still lie in whatever forum minimum contacts exist. I don't believe that statute takes anything away from international shoe and its progeny, stating you still have to have minimum contacts within the state of Nevada, and specifically that those specific contacts are what give rise to the causes of action asserted. The record before us doesn't include any reference to a single act that can be said to have taken place in the state of Nevada. Now, appellants, they discuss the fact that the respondents participated in the management of the company. That may be true to some extent. However, there's no evidence in the record at all indicating that any of their actions can be attributed to Nevada. Just because it's a Nevada corporation doesn't mean that their actions in voting, for example, a case out of Texas, Rittenmeyer, which appellants cite, it specifically says that a director's actions of voting at a board meeting are given effect in the state where the vote took place. In that case, that was Florida, although the corporation was a Delaware corporation. In this case, there's no evidence that there's ever been any votes taken place in Nevada. In fact, the company has always conducted business out of its European headquarters in Barcelona. Appellants also, in addition to trying to distinguish Schaefer and say that this court should not follow and adopt Schaefer, appellants also say that because Private Media Group is a Nevada corporation, that the harm that it suffers should be given effect in the state of Nevada as well. I would submit that argument doesn't really hold water. They cite a Supreme Court decision from the United States Supreme Court, Calder v. Jones, and they cite language saying that an individual who's harmed in California shouldn't need to go all the way to Florida to seek redress from individuals who residing in Florida caused harm in California. In Calder, you had a situation where there's a magazine that was distributed nationwide. And although the individuals resided in Florida, it was found that specific harm arose in California because the magazine was distributed there. It had nothing to do with the fact that plaintiff was a citizen of California. In fact, another U.S. Supreme Court decision involving, it was the Hustler case, found that Personal jurisdiction in that type of case could arise in just about any state where the magazine was distributed, because as a defamation case, the harm could arise in any jurisdiction conceivably where the articles were published. It's not important what the citizenship is of the entity that's allegedly harmed. What's important is the citizenship, or not the citizenship, I'm sorry. What's important is the location where the actual acts take place that give rise to minimum contacts. And we would submit that appellants in this case have shown no single act, much less a variety of acts, that can give rise to any minimum contacts in this case. At this point, I would ask that if you have any further questions for me, I'd be certainly willing to entertain them. But I believe that otherwise concludes my argument.
Colleagues, questions? Thank you very much, Mr. Vance.
Thank you.
Ms. Markwell.
A couple of points in response. Respondents counsel said that there were nothing in the record that relate to specific actions taken by respondents which injured the company, but there are quite a few. I mean, for example, in the November 17th, 2010, findings of fact, conclusions of law, and a preliminary injunction, which was entered after about seven days of testimony, and there were specific findings about the fact that Milton CEO had caused Private to make numerous substantial unsecured loans to himself and his entities, and that the board of directors had not demanded the repayment of the loans or taken any steps to collect them, even though the company was suffering from a lack of operating capital. Also, findings regarding the fact that the corporation had an obligation to the shareholders to recover those loans, which respondents have failed to do and have actually actively opposed, have voted against motions brought before the board to have an independent advisor look into this action. So those issues, I mean, there's certainly more than just general allegations they did something wrong. It's specifically discussing the conspiracy. There's many allegations in the complaint, also in the record in general. On the issue of minimal contacts, I mean, it's clear that the defendants, I mean, respondents don't have to be physically in Nevada to cause harm to a Nevada citizen. If they know they're causing harm to a Nevada citizen, that can count as minimum contacts, since they obviously knew that this was...
What torts are you alleging the individual defendants committed?
Conspiracy, breach of fiduciary duty, all relating to the fact that respondents actively helped the CEO, Milton, take about $10 million or so from the corporation, you know, for his own entities, and not trying to require him to pay that back or do anything, even though the corporation is suffering severely from lacking financial capital.
Does the corporation ever had any bank accounts in Nevada?
No, Your Honor.
So the only nexus was, like you said before, was the office listed with the Secretary of State as their principal office.
And the incorporation itself, Your Honor.
Right, okay.
Right, and it's well established that, you know, a corporation is considered to be a citizen of the state in which it is incorporated, and that harm to a corporation is primarily felt in the state where it is incorporated at. The fact that, again, it's well established that out-of-state actions that are causing harm to Nevada citizens or to in-state residents can qualify towards minimum contacts, cited to the Keaton case.
Could you address how the complaint demonstrates that these defendants purposefully availed themselves of the privilege of conducting business in Nevada, other than being officers and directors?
Well, I think the complaint describes in a lot of detail the specific allegations of the wrongdoing towards the Nevada Corporation, which we hold is they're certainly specifically maintaining, you know, establishing contacts with the state of Nevada and specifically taking actions to harm the Nevada citizen. I don't know if that's it.
Okay. But the purposeful availment by them, their actions as distinct from the harm inflicted, what did they do or that purposefully avails themselves of this forum?
Right. I mean, we present the fact that not simply by being officers and directors, but by being officers and directors of a Nevada corporation and then choosing to take actions to injure the Nevada corporation. That is, again, that's considered, we present that that is, again, showing that they are establishing contacts potentially with the state of Nevada. There's nothing, you know, they're the ones sort of choosing to do these things. And let me see this. And there's also a little bit of jumping back to Schaefer very quickly. And I believe it is just, if it is Justice Brennan's, he's concurring in part and dissenting in part, but here's language discussing the fact. Well, I have little difficulty in applying this principle to non-resident fiduciaries whose alleged breach of trust or said to have substantial damaging effect on the financial position of the resident corporation. And I mean, again, it's, you know, not, but there is at least some sort of language in there. Obviously, it's in the concurrence, but not in the main body. But do you have any further questions?
Your questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This case will stand submitted.